We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends. And
Bungie Podcast,
that's
right?
That's it. First of the year, January 2010.
Happy New Year, everyone. Hope everybody had a really nice, safe, fun holiday.
Safe holiday, yeah. Yeah. No drinking excessively. Everyone just be safe.
Yeah, I think I wrote it on Twitter, like, if you're going to drink, do it in a warthog.
Yeah, that was really socially responsible of you to. I like how you promoted, you promoted
took,
drinking
took
and driving.
Took exception and, like, retweeted, like, admonishing remark, like,
what is a retweet?
Friend.
My PR sense was tingling when I read that, but luckily it was a holiday. Nobody picked
your
up on
PR
it.
Sense.
Yeah, nobody ran that in the, like, USA Today
Kotaku
feature
picked
anything.
Up on yeah. it.
No, those guys were all off on New Year's.
Violent game developer condones drunk driving over the holidays.
I'm not going to say it. All I'm right. not going to say what comes to my mind.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Yes.
So we have a real show, I believe, set up for today. Two guests. It'll be a reasonably length show. No more three-hour epics like the one we
shooting
did to
for
close
an hour.
Out the year.
Yeah. Shooting for an hour, maybe 12 podcasts this year. One
Eric's
a month.
New Year's resolution, one a month, like clockwork.
The New Year's resolution was no Starbucks.
That's like a lot of... That's like the rule you get after you've been married for a few years. You get one a month.
I think we did say that we might have one or two special episodes that would be in
we
addition
might.
To the 12
sure.
standard ones. But
like the after-school special. Episode.
Yeah, we might, yeah. You know, like something like E3, for example, may warrant an extra special bonus round or something like that.
Oh, we'll, bonus round. Can
we'll
we have Keely on it?
No, yeah, you're right. We don't have
can
the...
Can we splice in the soundtrack for bonus round right here?
I don't know.
Note Steve Lopez.
I think we need a
is that
copyrighted?
Yeah, shit.
So did we play Keely the music already or is this the intro? What's going on?
Live?
This is the intro.
We're live. You're rusty. I know you forgot it a little bit over the break. Well, yeah, we're live.
Yeah, I forgot a lot.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
You know what did happen, though, over the break recently thereabouts was a magazine came out in the U.S. called Game Informer. Dropped.
Well, just to set the stage, this is like, we're like January 31st right now.
It's like free GM,
so this
right?
is like the end of January. We're just out of media embargo, so all the magazines have hit, right?
Found out that's actually the, not, it's a little bit earlier than I thought. So yeah, we'll get this out in the month. So
nice.
We're teeing this up to
nice.
Be in unison with the worldwide embargo lifting, which... For everybody else, it's the end of the month, basically. If you happen to work at EB Games in Australia, it was today,
yeah, it was
apparently.
Definitely today.
So big shout out to those guys for leading the charge, for putting Reach screenshots online.
Kicking off 2010 in style.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, they have an ebgames.au, so.
That's where yeah. the shots were at, you know. It just wouldn't be right if BungieNet wasn't completely last. So my money actually was on sort of a Southern Europe / Nordic gaming site to break the embargo. I never would have guessed an Australian retailer would do that. So, hey, it happens. Now they're everywhere.
Just a little miscommunication.
Just,
right?
I mean, it'll probably only be like another week or two till you get like an angry email from Shu or something.
Well, it does cause problems, but you know, we'll talk about that when Joe Tung joins us in a little while.
It's gonna be like the
guest.
Business dev chat with
that's with yeah, Tung. Lord knows it won't
rhythm
be
let's talk
business.
About media embargoes.
Well, there's a lot going on down here right now. It's a hub of activity, as you guys know. Everybody came back refreshed and recharged and happy new year, and I get to crunch. So
back
work's commencing. Lots of work to be done.
I hear they may be adding decorators in to some of the game. Taking some shots online with those screens. There's no decorators.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I think maybe they'll get one or two in.
Yeah, you know, I think that's just the downside of the fact that what those guys... So let's see. Game Informer was here first, like December 3rd, I think it was.
Something
the build
like
that we
that.
Showed them at that point was about 6 weeks old. Because we knew
Thanksgiving build.
We knew it sort of had the performance we needed. And so by the time people see the screenshots, right. you're talking about content and builds that are several months behind where we are right now.
Yep.
Just to put things in perspective, I think people that have followed us in our games probably know what to expect and how that evolves over time. But it's always weird for us and a little bit maybe painful to look back and realize like, ooh, really? Like that was considered a good screenshot back then? Ouch.
A lot of knocks on the composition too. They're like, who's taking these shots?
So. Yeah, you know, we the guys that we pulled off the streets to help us that last night only could do so much. So
that's like how Shishka got started here, right?
It was actually. Yeah. He showed up on the doorstep and volunteered to help when we were buried, and
just had like a little
worked like three straight days. I think was his story of like nonstop nearing up the studio, and eventually got hired.
That should not be taken as a life lesson to those in the community, though, right? Don't show
that's
up
all
at the door.
Pre-Jerome. So yeah, nowadays, yeah. If somebody showed up, no matter what your intention. Are you're not getting through. In fact, like yesterday, we observed a new person that was starting at Bungie, and
his warm welcome on his first day.
Yeah, who are you? And guys,
who's your
like,
contact?
Hey, I'm so and so. It's my first day. Yeah, who's your manager? Who's your contact? And the guy said the name,
Dave
and
Matthews.
He's like, well, he's not here yet. Is he expecting you? You're gonna need to wait over here. But it's a warm welcoming first day, feeling like you're totally trying to break into the studio like you're some sort of fanatical
Jerry
fanboy.
Takes it serious.
Sweet onboarding.
He's looking out for us. This morning, first thing, some brand new shiny red car was towed from the lot.
Awesome.
Start of the day.
I love starting my day seeing someone else having a bad day. Oh, it's the best.
I drove past. He had a big old smile on his face standing behind that thing, too.
Yeah, he's giving me like the thumbs up. Like, yeah, I got this.
Parking's in short supply around here.
It is, definitely.
You can't.
Especially when a big like Chrysler old person cars taking up two spots. Dicks.
Yeah, I don't know what else before Joe comes on. I mean, everybody's pretty busy. There's a lot of stuff happening. I don't think it's people know that we have a beta coming in the spring. Spring's not too far away, depending how you define it. We're neck deep in that right now. I think we just hit a point where we migrate part of the code base over to a separate branch. I'm probably stealing Joe's talking points.
And that becomes that becomes the foundation for
what will eventually become the public beta.
The public beta, yeah. I don't know. Is Joe going to talk about all that? Are we going
to
talk
it's
about that?
It's up to
process?
Us. We can ask him. I think we might want to save that. We got some time. So maybe that's the February episode.
Wow.
What I think
thinking.
We can talk about is a lot of the things that were revealed in Game Informer now that we're allowed to talk about it.
Yeah.
We can go a little deeper on some of that stuff.
Break it down a little bit.
Break
not,
it down.
Not all of it.
Hopefully tonight and tomorrow we'll see a huge turnout online for people that are wearing hearts in the game to help Haiti. By the time you hear this, it'll of course be moot because that campaign will be long since over. But
I
imagine
t-shirts, though,
we'll still be selling Be a Hero t-shirts, which are all for a good cause.
I saw Eric modeling one of those online. It's good.
Why don't that was number 1, 2, and 3 model on Amazon.
Why don't we go for a really fast break, and then we'll
away.
Come back, and Joe's walking in. We'll get him situated, and we'll be right back. So, Steve Lopez, this is your cue to insert something cool here, and we'll be right back.
I know, that's what I want to talk about while we interview you. Question one, remember when you were cool?
You've been on a podcast a bunch, right? So we don't totally need to like rehash like how you
Joe's only been on and like Joe's
just with Carney
and
just
like,
shooting the shit.
Carney, like,
did we ever talk about really quickly like how
sure you
get
a
ball
like, up on this mic?
Like, no one cares.
Like,
not really.
In
right,
in news from how not to get a job at Bungie now, like sending a letter with like the note like, hey, fuck you, I'm better than you at the game. It doesn't work anymore. If it did, we would have hired Juices.
Well, if it did, we'd all be out of jobs, right?
I wouldn't hire myself at this point.
Really? Anymore?
Yeah. Oh,
are you wearing a blazer today?
I always wear a blazer.
Wow, really?
We're back. The Bungie podcast.
Taking tips from the J. Allard School of Fashion Sense.
It's part of the deal.
Personality.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Executive,
I think he's the new best player at the studio.
Reach executive producer Joe Tung has joined us here. He's been a...
Say hello.
Periodic guest on shows in the past.
Hello.
You're without Carney this time. You're here by yourself, flying solo.
I'm
big
flying,
boy.
Flying solo. Yes.
You want to hold my hand? Or?
No, thank you.
Well, what you guys were referring to, just to back it up, is that it is true that the way that you got your job here was, I believe, kicking a lot of ass in the Halo 2 beta. You sent a note at the time to our studio manager, said, hey, great game. I'm better than all of you guys. Suck it. And long story short, now you're producing Reach. Yeah, miss anything?
No, that's pretty much it. You've told the story. All right, so we're going to break, or
no? We're back from break. Came back at the blazer job.
Yeah, we're in. This is all good.
I was saying, like, at the interviews.
Yeah, you just have
this
to.
This is our new setup, right? This is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little intimate. It is a little too close.
It's a little.
Everyone normally just gets a mint before they come on. Just, and I see you've got gum. So that's it's a fruity gum.
I especially don't like looking at your face behind the microphone screen.
Why?
It's almost like he's a voyeur.
Yeah,
right?
It's pretty creepy.
Try not to smack your gum in the mic, though. I think that will drive Steve crazy in post.
he can fix all those pops.
I know, but he's not going to like it.
You look like one of those kids in Dune. You know, like with the weird translator strapped to their head.
This is
whoa,
good.
Whoa! Schedule back up.
Wow! Rally.
GTFO, Sage.
I'm good. Okay. We're teeing up. No pressure on Joe. We don't want to cut your segment short.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Are we sure?
We do have our second guest lined up. He has become an internet phenomenon, but we'll get to him in just a second. So, Joe, we were just talking before the break about Game Informer's finally out in the wild. Information starting to get out in the public about the game we've been working on for quite a while now. How's it feel?
It feels great, actually. I think the last time we came on, we still couldn't talk about Reach at all.
Nope.
Right. Yeah, no, it feels great. It feels really good to be able to tell people what I'm actually working on.
Which is?
Halo Reach.
Okay.
I told you this segment was over, didn't I?
Yeah, I guess so.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, I mean, now that we can talk about some stuff, I don't want to assume everybody's read that magazine. The embargo will be up, so some of the shackles are coming off now in terms of features, and you know, certainly that's what we're going to talk to Sage about, is some of the work that he's doing on the game, but maybe talk to us about it from a high level. As executive producer, how's the project going?
Oh, when you say that, Brian.
I know, I'm trying to get your plugs in there for you. You are wearing a blazer.
I mean,
he always wears a blazer.
The project is going great. I guess I can't really talk about timelines in too much detail, I guess, but the project has been going for, you know, in full production for over 18 months, if that's kosher to say, and I think we're looking really good. We're heading toward alpha really soon, and I was just downstairs looking at some of the alpha stuff right now. It looks awesome. And then there's a bunch of campaign playtests going on right now also, and so the content that's going into those is pretty fucking amazing. It's still hard to talk about the game when you can't really talk about things, but things look great.
Well, there was a lot of stuff in those initial preview articles. I mean, there's only so much space they could devote to really fleshing out those details, and I think the things people really want to talk about are like all the cool stuff Sage is doing, but maybe to take a step back, I mean, now we know who Noble Team is. We've given these guys names. Mm-hmm. Sort of what's your... How do you position Noble Team? How do you describe them for people who are only used to Master Chief? What's your power byte, if you will?
Wait a second.
You know, I mean, I don't want to go off the reservation too much here, but I think maybe it's interesting to talk about how... early on, we always talked about sort of doing a Magnificent Seven of Spartans, just a really cool and unique group of Spartans that you could fight alongside with on the ground, really in the trenches. And I hope that's what we've got in Noble Team.
So who's the seventh?
You suck at counting. So initially, a long time ago, didn't you sort of inspire one of the Spartans, your particular brand of gameplay?
I mean, why are you such a dick on the show?
That's what you asked why he was here.
Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah. No, I didn't.
No? Hmm. Okay.
You're the inspiration.
I think we should have, we'll have Lee come on and talk about Joe's impact.
Why is it just because we have an Asian character Spartan, it just happens to be based on Joe?
No, it's because of that character uses the sniper rifle.
If there was a dick Spartan, would that be based on you?
Noble Dick.
Awesome. Is it too late?
You know, that does remind me, there was a supplementary Game Informer video that a lot of people saw on the web.
I saw that, actually.
I think there was some... Wasn't there a comment in there made about...
If I knew this was going to come up, I wouldn't have even stepped in the room.
We have to be accountable Hugs for and our slugs. Comments, Joseph. What was it? I don't remember exactly what it was, Eric. Do you remember?
I didn't watch that stuff. What are you talking about? You're talking about the Joe, best player in the studio?
I'm pretty much the best player in the studio. Like, so
yeah, I'm pretty much, right? Like, there leaves a little bit of room there for you.
It's like virtually
day.
Spotless. It means that shit's got spots on it.
So did you two end up meeting each other in the Metaphalon at all?
No.
Did you play Halo against each other?
It would have been unfortunate.
Not this year. Not this year.
Yeah. No, okay. We met my first year. Joe,
but the first year Luke was here.
Joe put on a show.
Yeah.
He played what he called at the Pentathlon this last week, the greatest game of Halo that has ever been played inside the walls of Bungie.
Wow. I think that's true.
Can we tape that?
I really do wish that I had a save time at that game.
I do too, actually.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you must
it's
have
like,
been here.
Al Bundy's the catch or whatever.
Oh, God. I mean, Luke was, of course, on the other team, which has made the victory even sweeter, but...
It's the only time Cable and I have not won Halo, since we've both been here.
Oh, God. The other room when we walked in after we won, it was...
Talking about last year's when this happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago? Yeah, I do remember that.
Because I haven't lost since then.
Yeah, your team won again this year too, right?
Yeah, Joe is the last... Joe's team's the last person to beat Cable now. That's the last team. And the other guys we played with who were fine.
Anyway, back to Reach.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won that this year too.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier about how we just branched off and we're starting to build up the foundations for what will eventually become the Public Delta. So there's a lot going on there, and we'll have more to say, I think, in probably the next podcast or so before we get too deep into that. But
sweet.
People are busy. Come back from vacation, refresh, lots of hard work to do.
I think we came back from vacation and really turned the corner into closing down the project. So a lot of people are sort of shifting gears from, you know...
Run to sprint?
I think it's dash.
You're a real wordsmith.
I think it's dash is what we're...
lots of people are turning the corner to starting to think about shipping the project, what it's going to take to get us from, you know, middle of production to a finished product. And that's a major, major shift on the floor.
Cool. Well, I know one of the things that we can probably just announce now, put you on the spot, is that people will be able to hear more about this process and how we are going to sprint to the finish from you and Marcus. We're going to kick off a sort of informal developer blog here pretty soon when this embargo lifts, so we'll be looking forward to hearing more from you guys ongoing from the trenches.
Sounds great.
Is it going to have like a combination of their names, like Jomar or something like that?
It's like the Marcus and Joe show.
Well, it's just part of our new From the Trenches storytelling approach. We really want just Marcus and Joe to be embedded right in the heart of what's happening and deliver that story back to our fans.
What's the URL?
We're still pending that. We need to talk to you guys offline. Eric wanted to do like the marcusandjoe.com or something like that. But
oh my God, please.
The rest
no.
of the team
want caricatures up there. You know, you come in there.
Oh, it's, yeah, like, so you said animated, like all back heads. And forth.
Let's call it awesomelybearded.com.
Yeah. But on that note, maybe we should go to a break and
I thought you were referring to your own beard.
Joe thought this was a video podcast though, because he got a haircut before.
I mean, why do you just try and take me down when I'm in
this
here?
This is you guys. You guys have this issue to work out. You should go play some ones.
You got a lot of hatred. I think Luke was not hugged much as a child. No. Mrs. Smith, do you listen to this podcast?
Yes, she does. She's very disappointed.
Luke needs to be hugged more.
It's too late for him.
All right, well, thanks, Joe. We'll be talking to you again real soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
One more quick break, and then let's get Sage in here.
All right, so we're back with the man, the myth, the legend. We got Sage Merrill and his beautiful, beautiful beard here in the podcast with us. Yeah. Tongues out. That was a really boring segment, but Sage promises that he's going to spice it up.
Well, we went from Tongue's beard to Sage's beard. I mean, we've definitely got both ends of the spectrum there. That was actually
Can you call that a beard?
I saw two or three
follicles. We got the expert here. Is that a beard?
I thought it was like an oversight in the morning getting out of the shower.
He had a little bit of dirt on his chin.
Right.
So, yeah, welcome, Sage.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that it's similar to him being the best player in the studio. Right?
It's just one of those things he says. Like.
Super beard.
So, Sage kind of got introduced to the world, at least from the Bungie perspective, in the Game Informer article. And I think some people probably saw you on the web in that little short video interview. And ever since then, you've been the subject of a lot of discussion. You're now legendary. People love the beard. So I think before we go further, let's address the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the beard.
All right, great.
So
why do I have such a huge fuck up beard?
Sure, we could start with that. What's the story behind the beard?
I think this is actually just laziness. It started when we were working on, we were doing real bad crunch at the end of Shadowrun, and I just stopped shaving and grew it out for about 6 months because, like I said, it was a bad crunch. And when we were done, I just cut it down to what's remaining now. And then I guess when we actually shipped, I cut it off. And so this is about 2.5 years or something. So maybe I'll cut it off again when we ship Reach.
I was going to ask you. So that's about 2.5 years of beard growth.
That's about as long as
I bet
as
we could sell it in the Bungie store.
I was going to say, like, you could donate like beards for locks or something.
Let's not go there. It's funny, but we're not going to go there.
Carmen can get some new pubes.
Speaking of pubes.
No, I'm just, so like in your perspective, what are some of the perks of having such an awesome beard?
We don't call them perks, we call them abilities.
Powers.
Beard abilities.
Right. I guess I never get carded. Obviously.
Sure.
So what did you called it what? You called it a fuck-off beard, or?
Oh, that's just the, I'm going to grow out this huge, like, I don't care, I'm doing whatever I want.
Cool. Right?
I tie it up now.
But definitely.
It takes about 15 seconds
in
the morning.
It's a little intimidating.
It's intimidating.
If you didn't tie it up, like, is it, like, all the way down, or is it, like,
top.
There's, like, growth area through here, and then, like, on the sides, it's not as long.
Yeah,
for the people at home, Luke is motioning with his hands in a suggestive fashion. Yeah.
Trying to draw the beat. Like, just, you know, that's something maybe I'm interested in pursuing someday.
Maybe you'll get some pictures.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's damn impressive. I don't know what to think about you maybe cutting it off someday, but you know, I guess eventually you'll want to.
Yeah, sure.
It certainly makes me feel
like
less of a man.
Maybe I'll lose all my powers. No, you never know.
Yeah, it's like a Samson thing. That's what I was wondering.
I do get a lot of, everyone wants to grab it.
Ew.
It's kind of odd. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of
things that dangle generally. People
they want to grab. So I've taken to grabbing the girl's back. That makes it entertaining for me. But
I just want to touch it. Yeah, you go first. I want to touch it too.
Left or right?
Yeah.
So you you mentioned briefly that you you were working at FOSSA. So I was going to say before you joined Bungie, you had a pretty long career at FOSSA. Shipped a ton of games with a lot of great people.
Yes. I was there for a long time. I started in San Diego at the Virtual World Center in 92.
Wow.
And so sort of worked through there. I spent about 8 years in Chicago working for Virtual World and then FASA Entertainment. And so a lot of giant walking robots. And then, let's see, more recently in the modern console age, Mech Assault, Crimson Skies, and then the last thing we shipped before the studio was closed was, of course, Shadowrun. But yeah, I had a great time. I mean, thousands and thousands of hours in cockpit simulators, blowing stuff up. So,
and has design been your focus throughout all of this, or have you kind of moved around a little bit?
I have moved around. Originally, I started at the site as a tech, sort of taking care of the equipment, and then I started doing installations. I actually traveled quite a bit. They sent me all over the world doing installations of these giant cockpit simulators. And then from there, I started doing design work for the cockpits, kind of rebalance work for them. We had two games, one being Battletech and the other being Red Planet. So one sort of combat related and the other sort of race or hovercraft related. And then from there, I started doing design work when we were working on, Mech Commander, I guess, before Microsoft bought FASA, and I guess that's 99. So, yeah, I was there about 15 years.
Wow.
So quite a while, yeah. I'm very loyal, I guess. So now we can see if we can do another 15 at Bungie.
Yeah, so, I mean, what was it at the time? I know FASA had closed down, but what was it specifically that brought you to Bungie?
Well, I was actually working at a little satellite office for Day One that we had opened in Seattle, and I got a call from, I think it was Jamie, and said, hey, come down, we want to talk to you. And at the time, they were looking for a sandbox designer to kind of take over. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. To take over and run Reach from a sandbox perspective. And so I came down, talked to those guys. I was interested in the project. And I'd actually talked to Marcus when FASA was closing, but he wouldn't tell me anything about the project. So I said, well, when you decide you're ready to tell me about the project or something about it, then call and talk to me. But until then, I'm not interested, right? So.
Now here you are.
Yeah, everybody wants to, you know. Obviously, Bungie has an outstanding reputation for making great games and caring about what they make, right? And so, for me, for things that I care about, like controls and vehicles and weapons, Bungie has a really good reputation of polishing that and making it great, so.
Well, I mean, I'd love to talk a little bit more about that, and I'm sure that's what people would love to hear. I think, obviously, we have a whole bunch of people downstairs, super talented, tons of areas of expertise going to making the final game, but in a lot of ways, I mean, it's a sandbox and the nuances of all those things you just described that really does kind of define the gameplay, and I think is what's going to make somebody keep playing or not ever play your game again. You and I have had some discussions in the past just sort of how you approach your philosophy for the sandbox and Reach, and I thought that was really interesting. Sort of just where your head was at and sort of what your guiding principles are as you do this work from now all the way up through launch.
Sure. Okay. That's pretty broad. let me see if I can talk
let's
about,
just talk
about
the DMR.
We'll get there, but I just think it's, I mean, you've made some very deliberate decisions in terms of like looking, I mean, obviously you've walked into a situation, as you even said, where Bungie already really has dominance in a lot of areas like controls, for example, and balance and
there's an established
sort of
palette of weapons.
Inheriting
and
that, yet also knowing that you need to refine it and make it a little bit different and add some new spices to it. And sort of, I'm just wondering like what it was like to walk in that situation and sort of find yourself that path.
I mean, there's definitely an establishing period where you're, you know, you're trying to sort of make an influence on the product without pissing everyone on the team off, right? and definitely going down. I mean, there's some very specific things about Halo that you don't want to, quote, break. Right, but you do want to continually refine that stuff. I guess we should talk about the sandbox breaks down into, you know, like you were saying, sort of the core elements of the game, core gameplay, right? Excluding AI and characters for now. But one of the things that makes Bungie's games great, or at least great to me, is that you should be able to drop some characters in an empty box with a couple of pieces of cover and some of the tools that you use, and that should be entertaining to fight over and over and over again, right? So the enemies aren't just sort of pop-ups that you just shoot and then they die and, you know, rinse, repeat. The enemies do more interesting things and the weapons are more interesting, and of course, you know, there is some skill involved in the targeting. So coming in, initially I did some work on a bunch of vehicles and sort of polishing that. And, you know, we want to take the refined controls that we have and how can we, you know, improve or increase the satisfaction of driving those. So we did some work on animation and camera for some of the, you know, the what we call hero assets, so the Warthog and some of the more common vehicles. We started talking about what can we do in the sandbox from a weapons perspective. And so overall, we have reduced the number of weapons that we have from Halo 3, and that is definitely intentional.
Right.
And that obviously doesn't mean that we don't have new stuff, but it means that we want particular weapons to have a role or a reason for existence, right? And so we don't want to duplicate, you know, well, here's a sniper rifle, and here's sniper rifle A, and here's sniper rifle B, and they're essentially, from their role, exactly the same, right?
Right.
It's not interesting. So we want weapons to have a specific role in the sandbox, that this particular weapon should be effective in this combat role, right? And then it's sort of your job to, if you decide to use a particular weapon, to then maneuver the fights or the combat into a position where you have an advantage, right? So obviously, you know, the easiest examples of that are the really long and really short-range weapons, being the sniper rifle or the shotgun or the sword or something, right? And then filling in the slots in between there and then adding some spice with some of the newer weapons that we're adding. So,
yeah, I think one of which Eric mentioned earlier that we've already shown and talked a little bit about is the DMR, Designated Marksman Rifle.
Right.
I think the kids are calling it the new BR. I think it's pretty much that same weapon. Is it the same thing as the BR? Is it...
It is similar. It fills that that role between, say, the assault rifle and the really long-range sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. So it is the sort of medium-range, pinging snipers, headshot sort of skill-based weapon. We have gone to a single, more powerful shot. So rewarding skill even more.
Right.
You don't get the free headshot from the... You know, just sort of aim center mass from the BR, and you get the pull up to the headshot. So,
and maybe talk to us about the pistol just for a minute. There's mention of it. There's a lot of speculation. Is it the Halo 1 pistol? Is it not the Halo 1 pistol? Is it the ODST
pistol?
Which
letter is affixed at the
is
end?
Is it the Magnum from Halo 3? I mean, what do you what should people come to expect when they get to play this in the spring on our beta?
I see. So, I mean, the problem, of course, is that everyone has their own opinion about what the Halo 1 pistol is. Right, a lot of people will say that's the great equalizer. Right, certainly it should be a viable weapon. Right, we don't want to have something that we give you that is useless. But I also don't think that the pistol as it currently stands is on a caliber with, say, the DMR or some of the more powerful weapons. But it is certainly viable as a combat tool against other opponents with other weapons. Now, again, it depends on where you are, right? So, yes, if you can keep the guy with a shotgun at bay, if you have a drop on the guy with the AR, then you're going to win. It falls somewhere between the Halo 1 super pistol, which I don't know if anyone's ever talked about that being a bug or not.
Yeah, I mean, we have. I don't know how much people have maybe heard that over the years, but there's conflicting stories
about it.
Yeah, Griezmer will say one thing.
There's like the Griezmer version, there's the Jones version, there's like...
I think Griezmer will say that it was just last minute somebody tweaked the code.
Probably the dude who works
at
Microsoft said something like...
Yeah, as it was...
Everyone has it's a myth now.
A story that I heard was that it was like a last minute change made on the campaign side that had sort of unintended multiplayer.
Correct.
Side
they doubled
effects.
The damage at the last minute. But it made it super popular, and that's fine. I mean, it is. I will say that, you know, it is going to have zoom, and it is going to be a headshot weapon, and it is relatively powerful, right? Now, is it going to have pinpoint accuracy like the ODST pistol? No, currently it doesn't. So you're going to have to take your time between shots, right? You don't have quite as much rapid fire, very dead on shots.
You're going to have to apply a little bit of skill when you use
it.
You
are going to have to apply some skill.
It's not a spray weapon. It's
right. And one of the things that we are doing in Reach, which I assume we can talk about, but... Bungie's always done this, and they've always had some sort of spread on their weapons, but they aren't really communicating that to the players exactly what the spread of the bullets currently are. So we're working on, you know, communicating that through the HUD, through sort of standard mechanics, to show you okay, you're very accurate now. Oh, you fired 3 shots in rapid succession. You've blown out. Right. You're going to have to wait a half second or a quarter of a second or something for you to return.
Yeah, you actually, I think you did demo that, even though the magazines didn't, they only have so much room to talk about stuff, right? But if I recall, the reticle actually does sort of expand and shrink.
Kind of have a second layer to the reticle that gives you the idea that conveys it really easily that you're not accurate now.
Right.
You kind of have this.
I mean, we still have this sort of the general, you know, Halo's always done this, that sort of the smaller the reticle, the more accurate it indicates the weapon is, and the larger it is, the sort of less accurate or the shorter range it is. So the, you know, shotgun being huge and the sniper rifle being tiny. But yeah, I mean, the DMR has that. So you can fire the weapon faster than perhaps you should at some range, but if the guy's right on top of you, that also means that you can get off more shots into the body, right? But if you're trying to get, you know, multiple headshots, then you have a slight delay. I don't know. I mean, it's received really, really well thus far. I mean, everybody here at the studio is very happy with
It adds another layer of skill to using the weapon. Not only do you have to keep the target, you know, painted, but you also have to pull the trigger in the correct rhythm. You have to know when your shots are accurate.
No, I think another thing that I just remember that you also showed our media friends when they were here that I don't think anyone mentioned, probably because they just don't consider it cool, but it's a subtle cool thing that I thought, is when you added the weapon sway back in now when you are strafing left and right, which I believe was a feature from Halo CE, but it just somehow disappeared for Halo 2, 3, and ODST. Yeah,
lost technology. We've recovered.
Has to do with Spartan 3s.
It just gives a little bit more motion to the first-person experience and makes the gun feel a little bit less static on screen and, you know, has no effect on accuracy, right?
The reticle's still center screen. It's not pulling that around or anything.
Center-ish. Right. Yeah. I mean, well, Halo 3 did that. They dropped it a little bit, right? It's not exactly centered on the screen, but...
So I think there's one other sort of primary weapon that we revealed thus far. That was the needle rifle. I guess I would probably describe it as a mix between a kneeler and a carbine. I don't know.
It is. It is the sort of the equivalent on the Covenant side of the DMR, right? So it is their sort of medium range repression rifle, if you will, long range headshot. So as with all the Blamite weapons, it does super combine. I guess let's see a couple of things. It can fire a single shot if you're pulling the trigger one at a time. It can also rapid fire, but then, of course, your accuracy blows out. Not as quite as fast as the Needler. And that would be pretty awesome. Probably too awesome. One thing that we have changed is that needles do not combine on shields. So you have to take shields down first. The needles are very effective at taking down shields, but you have to get 3 rounds in the body in order to super combine with the rifle, and then or one headshot, right?
Yeah, I actually thought that was an error in the GI articles. It said 3 to super combine. I was like, I don't remember 3. That seems pretty fast, but it makes sense if it's after shielding. Yeah.
Correct.
Because 3, that was, I mean, you can fire that sucker. People would be dying like crazy.
Right.
I think it actually, one of the other articles picked it up again and said, like, one trigger pull would kill 3 players or some crazy kind of stuff.
Only if I'm wielding it.
That's pretty awesome.
Maybe they meant the Halo 3 beta carbine.
It's like a telephone game out there. Yeah.
That's if they're at the perfect angle and you ricochet around.
So I think maybe one other area that we have to touch on, which is a pretty significant change to gameplay, is this notion of armor abilities. And sort of, I guess what's become a successor to the equipment introduced in Halo 3.
Sure.
Sort of, you guys made a move from this one-time use consumable pickup item to something that's different. And what's that all about?
So I talk a little bit about the philosophy there. So we liked the original equipment, but there was a few issues that we had with it. Mainly being that we never trained it. And then secondly, that it was one-time use and... there wasn't a good association between the icon and what the equipment actually did. So, yeah, if you're playing a lot of multiplayer, you pick it up. But in a campaign, you tend to pick these things up, and then you'd experiment with it, and then it's gone or used. Or you're running along, and you know, you either power drain yourself or you launch yourself into the ceiling with the grab lift.
Or you might even forget you have it, right? Or
you might even forget you have it and go try to reload for your old controls from
deploy some from kind of Halo turret
and yeah, deploy something. So we went to more of a persistent model where it's this what we're calling armor abilities, where you pick this up and you have it. There is a power meter to sort of control how often you can fire these off. But the advantages that that gives us is that you are able to experiment with it and you're able to work that into your combat cycle. And because you have it all the time and you're able to choose what you want, right? So you can pick from a variety of them. And I don't think we're definitely not talking about all of them yet. Nope. But
yeah, I think we've confirmed the existence of Sprint or Dash. I'm not sure if we know
the final
name of that.
There was Halogram as well. I don't know what that is, but
never heard of it. And then Active
Sounds
Camo.
Sounds like a cookie.
Yeah.
So Active Camo is a good example of something that...
Sure, Active Camo. So you know, you sort of have to think back. It's like, you know, it's like a minor power-up, depending on the ability, that you have to activate all the time, which gives advantages, like I was saying, in campaign. So you work this into your combat cycle. You tend not to save them and hoard them, because that's another problem that you run into in the original campaign or in 3. We're like, I'm going to save this until I really need it. Oh, the level's over, right? So you don't ever use it. So this gets you using it because it doesn't feel like a constrained resource, which is good. And then, you know, of course, the more people use it, the the more they work that in. It makes for a pretty interesting multiplayer. And, you know, we're still working out a bunch of minor tweaks to various different armor abilities to try and not necessarily balance them, but just smooth out the rough edges, as Bungie tends to do, right? We want that to be really, really
find
clean.
Find a sweet spot.
Yeah,
How long can you sprint? How often can you hit it?
Yeah, exactly.
All those little...
Exactly.
And I think you've said that none of them are intended to ever be, like, overtly offensive in nature.
Correct.
They're not a weapon that you'll deploy or...
That is another conscious decision, yeah. We're never going to give you, you know...
The BFG armor ability that's just the win button?
Juggernaut.
No.
I've managed to find ways to turn almost all forms of armor abilities into weapons. it's pretty much a confirmed fact.
Hitting them with your ragdoll does not count.
Totally does.
Ragdoll's confirmed. We weren't talking about ragdolls yet, but I guess we just confirmed.
Like we weren't going to do that.
I thought we removed that feature as we moved into our...
I saw the screenshots today. Kids were saying, is there no physics in this game?
I heard,
bodies are just
laying there. Yeah, I heard Havigate cut it. So do you want me to talk some more about armor abilities?
Or? I don't know. Is there anything else you feel like you want to say? I mean, I do think it does present a really interesting opportunity for something like our public beta where, you know, I think we're all excited and some people might even be admittedly a little bit terrified about what this is going to mean for Halo gameplay.
Yep.
And
Oh, yeah.
The fact that you guys have this opportunity to have a couple million people banging on it and trying to exploit it. And I mean, that's got to be pretty invaluable.
It'll definitely be interesting to get people's opinions and see how they feel about that. But there's a lot that we're not revealing yet, which is sort of, you know, how you obtain and how often you can rotate these out and any, like all of the acquisition stuff is still unrevealed. So that'll be fun for people to experience and play with when they get their hands on the beta.
You know, there is one more thing that we should also mention that you guys have also cooked up, assassinations.
Oh, yeah.
A new way to dispatch your opponent in a quiet manner from the backside.
Quiet and flamboyant.
Can we rename that like Luke Smith's Weekends?
Wow.
Hi, Mom.
Yes. So, assassination, this is an extension of the classic Halo one-hit kill from behind. And originally, we started to set this up for campaign because we wanted this sort of satisfying moment when you snuck up on an elite, you know, or a jackal or something. And the animators did such a great job of sort of selling that moment that we decided, wow, we really need to get this into multiplayer. So we've been experimenting with that for a while. And we've gone round and round with a variety of different implementations. And again, this is, you know, sort of the Bungie, like, you put it in, play test it, see what we think, make some changes, play test it some more, to try and get something that appeals to everyone without, you know, breaking the game or shutting it down. So for a while, I had it in there where you could not one-hit kill people from the back. If you wanted to get the free kill, you had to assassinate them. And that was received with, I'll say, mixed impressions.
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah. Luke loved it.
I'm excited.
He wanted to wait 2 seconds. He was like, please, can I wait some more time before I can kill this person? So now that's changed, and we've gone back to single hit kill melee. Still takes down your opponent, and it's more of a flourish, if you will. Mm-hmm. That new improved celebratory crouch.
Maybe? It's like teabagging plus.
Yes. Yes.
I'll kill you with style.
Ride it.
With an exclamation point.
So, but I think it's going to make for some awesome save films where, you know, you're in the middle of assassinating someone and, you know, you get sniped and, you know, your buddy is saved, or you both get run over by a warthog. Or,
you know, or the sniper dumps both of you. Right. Like, there's just going to be... And we have some pretty cool opportunities for some pretty cool stuff to happen.
And we didn't. I know we're not going to say how many of those are. I know you guys are still tinkering with a lot, but right now the plan is that they're kind of contextual. So if you're behind the guy, you might trigger one type of assassination. If you're to the left side of them, you might trigger assassination.
Correct.
Didn't you mention that there's even a crazy scenario of being in both you and your opponent are both in midair, and you can also trigger an assassination behind
them. That one's awesome. If you're, you know, crossing and from two man cannons or something,
it's like that Ninja Gaiden moment.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, hey, you got your.
I'll get my revenge.
I've seen some weapon specific stuff too, so I don't know if that's going in, but different weapons, do they have different assassinations as well?
I mean, a lot of this is all memory and content constrained, I guess. So we'll do everything that we can to get as many of those as possible, because we want to have variety so that people aren't looking at the same thing over and over again, but also just so that you get the satisfaction of, if you drop down on some guy from, you know, two stories up, he gets crumpled underneath you, right?
So, cool.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Also, like Luke Smith's weekends.
Kinda. Wow. It's not like me getting dropped on.
Some dude crumpled, coming down from two stories.
Some chick's boyfriend or some bad shit. Yeah. What else is going on with Rage? I have a therapist.
Enough
that I can
about
talk
Luke
to you about
Sandbox.
This.
Yeah. Luke Sandbox. Clearly, it needs more refinement. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like there's a lot more stuff, obviously, definitely, that you guys are working on that we can't quite talk about yet. So I think it's safe to say that you'll be a returning guest on a future podcast for sure.
And that'd be great.
At this point, you know, people know in the spring when our beta rolls out, almost all these new things you're talking about will be there in some incarnation. And maybe at that point we'll give out your personal email. People can just share their thoughts
perfect
with you.
Yeah. That'd be... Man, I'm sure I can collect some more photos for them to Photoshop up. That'll be great.
Okay.
like beard at bungee.com.
I can put some stuff online.
There's going to be assassination images with just a beard coming out of the Spartan helmet.
Yeah. Oh, that is one thing that I don't know if we'll put it in, but someone sent around the mail for new icons.
New emblems.
Yeah. New emblems. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And so, you know, internally on the spam alias, it was responded with a helmet with a beard on it.
Is it like yours? Is it like
Yes.
It's a good beard. Yes.
I just asked for like the number 23, like just to be an icon. I just want to have my own Jordan jersey.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Okay,
you want a Spartan helmet with a beard?
No, I don't want that. I'm just saying it was amazing. I already have the beard. I don't need an icon that says.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not Michael Jordan, so I need the icon.
Okay.
Luke can't dunk. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Throw up an 8.5-foot rim, I'll fucking throw down.
Let's go 6
I'll take
and a half,
it,
Luke.
I'll take it
Let's
through my, I'll take it between my legs like D. Brown. I'll pump up.
Oh, welcome to our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, it's been serious for a while.
Of course, yeah. I know. Yeah, we got some stuff in there. We got some great stuff.
Sage was, you know.
Too much talking.
What's the word? What's the sizzling?
Yeah, he was sizzling.
You were sizzling.
Wow.
Do you have any, put you on the spot, do you have like, is there an all-time Halo series-wide weapon that's your all-time favorite?
Say the AR just to piss the kids off.
SMG, right? Spikers?
The AR.
Dual spikes? It is the ultimate spawning weapon.
The ultimate spawning weapon.
Wow, you can't even say that.
Wow. I think My favorite Halo weapon is probably the Needler, only because it is so unique to Halo. And there's nothing else like it in any of the other games. So I definitely remember that from...
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I would say I like the auto-aim magnetism sort of control combo that Halo established in CE, and that is far more important than the specific weapons, right? The ability to actually target on a console, which still has not been well copied, I'll say, from the competition, at least in my opinion, right? They're still sort of scrambling to get that right. So we still have...
We should just do a GDC presentation on the secret sauce.
I think that means... Doesn't that mean that...
I know we did that with the AI, too.
I think that means Chuck
has
to go.
Here's how the AI works. Did you make yours yet? Okay. No? Okay. It's been 9 years.
Yeah. I think if we do that, Chucky has to be on stage. That's a bad idea. Bad idea.
Right. And shockingly, I found out that it was like their second try or something for how are we going to make controls work on a console. It's like their second implementation about 2 weeks in, and it's been good for 10 years and no one's done better, so that's pretty impressive.
Sweet. You know, I should dispel a myth about the Needler while we're on the topic of a Needler. One of the magazines, I think, reported that the needles were no longer be pink, and I think that was a factor of the builds that we had just at the time didn't have, were right. Art complete. So my understanding is that there definitely will be some familiar pink hue to these needles.
Yeah, I don't think we would go so far away from the sort of iconic
pink mist.
Pinkness, yes. I guess I should mention too that just because it's my favorite weapon doesn't mean it's going to be any good. No, it'll be good. It just won't be great.
At different points in development, it has been called the so-and-so development, like the so-and-so death machine. Like, I guess, like your Padawan, Josh,
right.
Played with it, and it became like David Aldrich, one of the networking engineers, was like, oh my God, it's the Josh Hammer death machine. It's like for a 2 week period of time, you're like, I got the Needler, and just people just crumple and die and burst into fire. It's awesome.
Right. It's definitely interesting. We've got a lot of dials there to play with. And for a while, everyone just kept complaining, oh, it sucks, it sucks. What's wrong with it? We don't know. And so we just kept turning up all the dials. Right? And then eventually we had them all up about, you know,
11
times what they were previously were. And then it turned out it was, you know, some networking bug. And so that got fixed. And then everyone was like, oh, my God, what happened to the Needler? I better turn those back down.
Yeah, so it's really the David Aldrich death machine. Because he made a networking right. fix. And suddenly the Needler transformed.
Right.
Yeah. Sweet. Well,
yeah.
I think that's about the extent of what we're allowed to discuss.
Yeah.
Thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah, no
I know
problem.
You guys got some... quite a bit of work to do. We don't want to keep you, but we will be hearing more from you.
He's got
I'm
more
sure.
beard to grow.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's 5 o'clock. It's time to knock off.
We'll keep up with
so much beard.
Get out of
so
here.
Little time.
So you're at least keeping the beard through reach.
Oh yeah.
You think? All right. Good. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I think we should get a Vidoc of the beard removal.
I think we should. If we start now,
swelling
should,
Marty music.
You should reenact that scene from. Royal Tenenbaums, like we'll put a hat on and like shave your beard off, and we'll play like some dramatic music in the background. It'll be good.
Wow, sounds
like
sounds terrible.
Yeah, it'd be good.
In the interim,
a single tear.
Yeah.
In the interim, let's time lapse it. I propose every day you Bungie tweets a pic of his beard.
Beard. I'll do it. You want to do it?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll change much.
Yeah, yeah, it's not gonna grow a whole lot. I think this is like
we should have done the maze too. I think you and the maze should have a beard off.
Like, oh, all right.
You should go bear.
Go then. Bear and then...
Amaze's not going to get that kind of length, obviously. He's
trimming
it. He's known for... He's thick.
No, but he's actually... What he's doing is he's trying to construct, like, a triangle beard.
Oh, really? Like right. those dudes in those competitions?
Well, he's got the little handles.
Wax his mustache and stuff.
He does wax.
Really?
Yeah. Go up there and talk to him. He'll fiddle with it.
I don't want to. No.
It's an experience.
No,
really like, I don't know. Like, none of us really know how, like, the rate that Sage's beard grows. Like, in the office, like, LeMay grows a fast beard. Froman grows a fast beard. Like, Sage would be a wild card in a beard competition just because no one's ever seen it clean.
Brian's beard came in quick. That was holiday break.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's not long. It's nice. It's like a Riker beard.
It is Riker-esque.
It annoys the hell out of me, so I'm just curious like how Sage can deal with
men.
It. It just completely bothers
beard.
Me.
I don't think they'd let me in the billing if I cut it off.
to be like, I can't even,
Jerry would be like, we're Sage.
I can't even imagine.
All right, well, thanks a lot. I think we should wrap this. It's actually a reasonable length show.
It is. I think we're coming in under an hour here.
We'll shut her down, and that means we'll be back with another show next month. We'll have time to spare.
See you in February.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
The Bungie Podcast is engineered by Eric Osborne, mixed and mastered by Steve Lopez, and hosted by Brian Gerard and Luke Smith.